This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views conveyed by the guests on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information shared by the guests on this program are those of the guests and are for informational purposes only. They should not replace the medical advice of your veterinarian.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. This week, the importance of having a trust in place for your pets and a local rescue that is changing lives. That's what's on our show this week. Let's get started.
Come here, babies. It's time for a treat. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves. Thank you for joining us today as we bring you the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Contact us at thedoggydiva.com. That's the doggydiva.com. We love hearing from you. So go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. With us today is Monica Layton, president of Professional Pet Sitting, with the Pet Tip of the Week. Now, Monica, we all are preparing for our wills, for our estates, and this is for our loved ones. But I think that we tend not to realize that we should also prepare for our pets in case something happens to us. Can you just tell us a little bit about pet trusts?
People have heard about trusts. I mean, trusts are pretty much a huge portion of estate planning. And just like in us, people do trust for very similar reasons, oftentimes because when you have a simple will, that is a post-death document. When something happens to us, whether we're just ill, incapacitated, which can sometimes be prolonged periods of time, you have kind of funds tied up. You know, they're not released until the death of the owner. So with trust, you have the ability to have somebody that can have access to the funding for that trust and the exact directive of how things should be handled and who will be handling them in case of a situation to where the owner has not passed, but they are incapacitated or they are ill to the extent where they can no longer care for, in this distance, instance, their pets, then the trust would be there as a backup for that person. So how pet trusts work? They are legally binding. They can be done by any estate planner. They are held up in court just like any other trust. It is an actual trust agreement with a trustor, a trustee. The one thing that I always tell people, you know, do your homework, definitely go in with all of your information. One thing that, you know, is great is there's a lot of places that are used to overseeing trust. The issue with pet trusts is pets cannot oftentimes say, hey, I'm not getting the care I'm supposed to be getting. So having a trustee that can oversee things. They also have instances over the years that the person that the owner had representing the pet, the person that, you know, was the trustee, was overseeing the account and then designated person to care for their pet, something had happened to them. And they actually have some state agencies that can come in and provide people to do the care and take over that position of a trust. So having something as in regards to a trust covers you for those unforeseen circumstances, but you have the ability to dictate how you want things done. You can describe your pet's standard of living and care. You can have them go to the specific veterinarian you want them to go see. You can have them, you know, adhere to the same quality of care that you were giving. And all of that can be detailed out in a trust very easily. You can put the funds in there to cover any expenses, and you can designate what the remainder of the excess funds go to. So I've seen examples where, you know, somebody was caring for their trust. The trustee was paying all of the bills for the care of the pet. And when the trust ended, which was upon death of that pet, or if you have multiple pets upon the death of the last pet, then the person who was doing the care, the caregiver, received the rest of the money that was in the trust. And there was excess in there for that person because of, you know, the work and the care that they gave. But one thing that, you know, is really good to have in there, you know, all of your information, photos of your pet, descriptions of your pet, you know, your pet's microchip information, any illnesses. Trusts are really good, especially if you have pets that are special need pets, pets that would have a serious issue if you were to become ill and you could not care for them. If you could not explain what needed to be done, a trust are a good way to kind of set up that schedule and those wishes in advance. So God forbid, if something happens, then you have something set up to where you have somebody designated for that care. They have immediate access to funding and they can, you know, carry on that pet's routine and care as normal. And that way, you know, if you are sick or injured or comatose or anything happens, you're not waiting for somebody who has access to get you money and, you know, paying out of pocket, which, you know, that caregiver may not be able to do.
Well, Monica, this is like really valuable information, especially for those of us who have wills and who have estate planning, and we've included our, you know, our loved ones in it. And to know all this about pets, especially with the pet trust, it's very important. And it's one key thing you said is to make sure that you have a specific person who is the person who will be doing this, so that heaven forbid that something happened either to the pet parent or maybe they were incapacitated, that it's almost like a continuation of things is the way they go, whether it's with the same vet, same healthcare, the same way that they live. I know this personally because we had taken in a pet who a person was scheduled, not through a pet trust, to take care of the pet when they passed, an emergency happened, and the person wasn't prepared at that time to take care of them. So we took the pet in, but to have all that stuff planned out, it gives the pet parent such peace of mind. So this is really important. This is really valuable information. And I thank you so much for bringing this to our attention.
One thing that also is really good in regards to a trust that people often have to remember, that pets, whether I necessarily agree with this or not, but they are still considered property. So by law, no matter, you know, how dear your pets are to you, they're ineligible to inherit assets after you die. So you are essentially having to leave money to somebody if they are caring for your pet, but you're not actually providing the need and the structure that money is for the care of that pet. Like, you cannot leave money to a pet. So you can leave money to a person and hope that they take your pet, but they're not legally required to. When you set up the trust, you will be the grantor and you select your trustee, and that trustee is going to hold those funds and they're going to be responsible for executing the grantor's wishes when it comes in regards to directing the money to the pet's care and to the maintenance. That trustee serves as somebody that can oversee that the trust is carried out per your specifications. Trustees, if you wish, can have wellness checks on the pet. You can set up parameters to where you know that that pet is being cared for. To where a will, you know, unfortunately, the way the law is written, our pets are property. They are not a being that can inherit money in itself.
And the will's like post death, whereas a trust, it could actually be like, whether it could be if you do pass, but it could also be like if you're incapacitated or if something happens that you can't care for the animal. Is that?
Yes, absolutely. And you know, oftentimes, unfortunately, I see it way too much, you know, in the vet's office, but you'll have, you know, as we get older, you know, we age and our mind ages. You could have somebody that may no longer be able to care for themselves and may need to go into a memory care unit. And it's not that their body is failing them. It's just that, you know, their mind has aged and they can't provide that level of care. And I see so many times where clients are going into these memory cares or the assisted living and they can't take the pet and arrangements haven't been made. I definitely think pet trust, when you're looking at doing your estate planning, if you have pets, it's worth a conversation with your lawyer and your estate planner to, you know, see if you guys can come up with a good solution in regards to that, because it is something that happens far too often.
Yes, unfortunately, sadly, for the pet parent and for the pet, this is probably something that you should look into, whether it be with your attorney or your estate planner, but even just to inquire about it and maybe act upon it and get peace of mind for that. So I thank you very much. This is really, really valuable information. And as always, Monica, you have a great week.
Thank you. You too.
And we'll be back in just a moment.
Hello, everyone. Susan Marie here to tell you about the award-winning three-book series, The Doggy Diva Diaries. It is a trilogy of heartwarming and inspirational stories about Miss Olive, a lonely little rescue pup, hoping to find her forever family and friends and a life filled with love. In this series, Miss Olive learns that it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside, it's the kindness and love you have on the inside that counts. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other online booksellers. And please visit us at thedoggydiva.com for more information.
Thank you, everyone.
Coming up, have you ever wondered how rescue angels help homeless pets in need? We've got the answers. Stay with us.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your Cat Tree Tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. Bella Vita Rescue was founded in 1999, reflecting the true meaning of beautiful life rescue for homeless animals in need. And we have with us today Jill, the founder of Bella Vita Rescue in California, to tell us all about how her rescue has positively impacted pets and pet parents. Welcome, Jill. How are you?
I am great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. You know, I first heard about you from a friend of mine who recently adopted two beautiful dogs from you, and they're so happy. Can you just tell the listeners a little bit about what your inspiration was in founding Bella Vita Rescue, and just tell us a little bit about the rescue?
I had a horse ranch with, or my family did, and in Moraga. And we used to get lots of dogs just left there, just dumped there. Luckily, I had parents that loved dogs and all animals. And that's actually when it started, when I was a teenager, for the most part, just begging my parents to bring them home because I couldn't sleep at night thinking any dog was just left at a barn. And it's really sad that it happened way back then, but it's more prevalent now. It's 100 times worse. But that's how it started, is dogs that were abandoned at my horse ranch. And I've loved them ever since.
Where did you come up with that name? I love that name.
Oh, Bella. My daughter's name is Bella. And Vita means life. So beautiful life rescue.
And that gives it such a beautiful name because of what you're doing. You're obviously saving lives, and you're also enhancing the lives of pet parents everywhere. Can you tell us, like, where you're located and, you know, what type of animals you're taking? Because I think you do more than dogs, correct?
Yes, dogs and horses. We've taken in some pigs as well. If other rescues step up and there happens to be a pig or a goat or a cow, steer, then, you know, I will pull them for them. I will arrange some sort of freedom for these other animals that I can't take in. But we are based out of Oakland, out of Northern California, but we have a location and a foster coordinator in Los Angeles and in Central Valley. So Oakland, Los Angeles, and Central Valley are our three locations.
That's great. And that's a great span to be in also. And you know, Jill, having been in rescue myself, I know it literally takes a village to keep this all together, to make it happen. How important is this to Bella Vita Rescue? And how does social media enhance what you're doing, your mission here?
I am a tiny rescue. I'm more so a one-woman show and run everything. However, a truck doesn't run on two tires. Like, it takes four, obviously. And we need fosters. We need people that can transport. We need places, I call them little plopper houses, where I can pull a dog that's an emergency or an urgent dog or a medical dog and just plop them in a home, you know, and then quickly get them out of there, get them into medical, get them into forever fosters or long-term committed fosters, you know, people to gather donations, because all of our foster parents need food and beds and supplies. And it's, you know, there's no way, I don't care what anyone says, one person can do it alone. It takes all of us. It takes all of us. And really, truly, I feel like the fosters are the true heroes. Because again, I don't board dogs, so there's nowhere to put them if there are no fosters.
And I don't know if people even understand, like, I always say, you know, to donate, adopt, or foster, because there's more than just adopting. I myself am a huge foster failure. I always have multiple dogs in my home, and I always have multiple dogs in my home. But I know how the importance of fosters. A lot of my friends are foster parents, or great successful foster parents. And it is, you're right. It's kind of like the brick and mortar that kind of keeps it all together, because you're not a shelter. No one can go to see the dog there or take the dog, or people are working out of their homes. They're all coming together for the passion of rescuing and helping these animals. And I'm sure that listeners are going, how can I help? How can the listeners help Bella Vita Rescue? And what is it that you need? And also, you're in California. There are local rescues throughout the country. How can listeners impact their own local rescues, as well as how do people in your area impact what you're doing in Bella Vita Rescue?
It's mostly about fostering. And because fosters are the ones that, you know, if I pull a dog straight from a shelter and put them in a foster that I've already vetted and checked and everything, they're the ones where they decompress with. They start to become the true dog. And they're so important to us because they're the ones that can say, this dog is cat friendly, not cat friendly, hyper, mellow, is good on a leash. We can't do that because we can't put them all in our own, you know, backyard. So if people would reach out to their local rescues, and just even if they're just a little plopper house, or if they can be long term, that's the most important thing. And I'm speaking for all rescues that I personally know, large and small, that they can't exist without fosters. And then donations. We're a nonprofit, so everybody volunteers for the most part. We're not paid. We rely solely on donations, monetary ones as well, monetary. And most of us have wish lists in our bios, whether they're on Facebook or Instagram, for our fosters. So those wish lists are what we give to our fosters so that they can care properly for our dogs.
And that's so important. I think sometimes people hear, oh, foster family, oh my gosh, I'm going to be incurring all of this cost. But the rescue itself helps to subsidize that. And the way that that's done is because you're a nonprofit is through donations. And right. That's why it's very important that people donate, you know, they give with their heart to whether it be their local rescues, and most importantly right now to Bella Vita Rescue. And now, Jill, where can the listeners go to learn more about Bella Vita Rescue? Where can they learn not only about the rescue, but how they can help and what they can do to help and where they can, if they want to volunteer, if they're saying, oh my gosh, I could foster. And I just want to clarify something. When you say a plop house, you're meaning like, I can't get it directly to the rescue right now, but I can get it from the shelter and put it in this home for maybe 3 or 4 days and then get it to the foster. Is that what you're meaning?
Little plopper house.
That's what they're so important.
Hey, oh my goodness. Because I'll have, you know, ACOs call me every day and they're like, this dog is going to be put down at 4. And if I have little plopper houses, I can run and get that dog to that little house and then just, you know, go full board on getting them into a forever foster. And some of the plopper houses will go, okay, I'll give you 2 weeks, which is great. That helps mm-hmm. a lot, but that just saved the dog's life.
Being a plopper house is very as valuable as being a foster because you're that interim in saving the dog's life.
Yes. Yes. They can give them a bath, run them to the vet for us, or, you know, because I go directly, it doesn't end it. People think that when a dog's pulled, that's it. Yay, they're safe.
No, that's when it begins.
That's the beginning. It's not the happy ending. It's the happy beginning. And that's what's very important in our village are the fosters. They are heroes. They are the heroes. They truly are.
I wrote 3 children's books and it was about forever homes and about adopting and rescuing. And we dedicated all 3 to the rescue angels. And that's what you are. And all of the people who are working with you and all of you out there are rescue angels. And people need to understand the value of that and how important you are, Jill, and people like you around the animal community who are making a difference in the lives of these animals who are in need of our help.
Well, there's a lot of different situations. I specialize in hoarding situations, and I just helped with a 96 dog situation in Mississippi.
Wow.
Where a rescue got overwhelmed and reached out, and I headed the California location to try to get dogs out this way. And it's a great feeling. There's, you know, the only bad thing about it is people that dump their dog, well, besides the cruelty, which is a given, but people that dump their dogs and just don't look back. And, you know, those are the ones that the seniors, the ones that it keeps me going. It just keeps me going forward and rescuing.
Well, and that I personally do seniors and special needs dogs because I know that there are some people who do it, but a lot of people would like, you know, some of the younger dogs or things. But I believe the senior dogs and the special needs dogs, sometimes they have a harder time finding their forever home. So yes. I commend you for doing that. I totally am. I believe in the seniors, the senior pups, and they need our help. Sometimes even more than the younger ones who tend to be, they all need our help, but the seniors, I think they're sometimes less adoptable than the younger ones. So, and they're just as loving, they're house trained.
They're amazing.
They know a lot of them know their basic commands. So it's like
right.
they're so grateful to be,
dogs
be
have
in the home.
Right. And senior dogs have the most experience in love. It's my favorite saying. They are my heart. And they are. I love senior dogs. And I'm contemplating adding a senior rescue separate.
Oh, you'll have to let us know.
I love that. I take all dogs. I'm not breed specific. I never have been and I never will be. I take all of them. But my heart, just this morning, I called Kern County and said, I'm working on Hans, who's a senior there that's just not getting any attention. And all he does is smile. He's a smiley, happy, senior dog and he just, I can't sleep. I need to get him out. It's some of them hit you so, so hard. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I love every one of them. And I get accused of saying that every dog is perfect, but that's, they are.
They are. Uh-huh. You're 100% right. And your heart is so in the right place. Now, again, where can the listeners go to learn more about you, Bella Vita Rescue, where they can follow you on social media? I know you have a very popular Instagram account. If you could just share some of that with the listeners, I'm sure that they'll be following you and seeing what you're doing with all these wonderful pups that you're saving.
Our Instagram is at Bella Vita Rescue, and it's BellaVita Rescue, and our website is bellavitarescue.org. We are not on Facebook. We're primarily on Instagram. And, you know, and I talk to people. When people want a certain type of dog, I will find them a dog. I will find the dog that fits the family. I will be their mutt matchmaker. They don't have to, you know, they don't have to go buy a dog because there's so many beautiful purebreds everywhere, especially now. So that's what I love to do is match the person and the family with the dog.
And that's a gift. Being a matchmaker with animals is a gift. And I know the person that I know, you matched perfectly. So I'm thinking that you're a great matchmaker.
Our little alley dogs. That was very interesting. I love her. She's a wonderful mom and just absolutely amazing. The whole story is really, truly sad and beautiful equally.
Absolutely. And again, you made the perfect match and the pups are happy, the pet parents are happy, and they found their forever home and their forever life together. I think that has to be your gift because I see it. So I thank you on behalf.
Well, they were also very open-minded about taking the two because those two were roaming the alleys and the streets together, protecting each other. And I didn't want them separated at all. They finish each other's sentences. And I just don't like to break up twos. Sometimes they're not good for each other, but those two absolutely adore each other. And that's what is also important is that people just listen to what we have to say that works best for them for life and not, oh, I just want a fluffy puppy or I just want this or that, because you need to adopt a dog that works for you. And that's why we only have a 1% return rate, less than 1%.
Wow. That's amazing.
So I work hard on that. I want everybody to be happy. You know, that's how the end justifies the means in rescue for me.
Well, I'd say I commend you. I thank you. And Jill, thank you so much for being our guest and for all that you're doing for the animals in need at Bella Vita Rescue. And I also want to thank you for being a rescue angel, because I believe that what you're doing is something that the dogs, pet parents, all of the people out there who are looking to find a peaceful, loving ending to maybe the dog had a little bit of, you know, there's a little stress involved, and somehow it all comes, like with my friend, it all came together and you helped put that together. So I thank you very much.
Well, of course. And thank you for being a foster. You are a superhero yourself. It's so important, Sue. It's very, very important to have fosters out there. You have no, I'm sure you have an idea, but
I've been doing this for so many years, Jill. I've been doing it for over 25 years. So I see both sides of it, and I see what you're doing. And I also see in what you did for my friend. And I see that the match was perfect. And there was a lot of thought and a lot of good ideas and good feelings that went with that. So I thank you very much. And you're doing it all. So I thank you.
Of course. Of course. I appreciate everybody. Everybody keeps spreading the word of how important fostering is for rescues, especially the rescues that don't want to board like me. I don't like boarding facilities.
No. And before we go, can you just give out your
social media and website information one more time for the people who want to go? I'm sure that they're going to want to find out more about you all.
Yes, it's BellaVitaRescue.org. And then the Instagram is at BellaVitaRescue.
Well, Jill, thank you very much. I'm so glad that you came on to share your story, your rescue. And on behalf of my friend, I thank you very much, too, because that was a little match made in heaven. So thank you.
Of course. Of course.
Thank you. We'll be back in just a moment.
Pet Life Radio, the number one pet radio network on the planet, joins forces with iHeartRadio to put the power of your pets in your pocket.
Awesome.
Download the iHeartRadio app and rock Pet Life Radio on your phone, on your tablet, on your Xbox, in your car. Pet talk, pet tunes, and fun pet times. Pet Life Radio and iHeartRadio. Positively possum.
We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great diva week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Doggy Diva Show. To find out more about Susan Marie and the Doggy Divas, visit them at their website, thedoggydiva.com, and on Facebook at The Doggy Diva Show. Tell your fellow pet parents about it. We look forward to having you join us again for the next episode. See you soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.